The divisional round of the NFL playoffs is here, and we've got some serious showdowns to talk about. But not just serious showdowns, serious quarterbacks. We've got two of the quarterbacks lingering from the old age where NFL quarterbacks were based on, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers that day. But there's a lot of young quarterbacks in this round, too. I'm going to talk to myself, Chris Carter, along with your boy Q. We're going to talk about these new quarterbacks, what they've been doing, what they're setting themselves up for, and what this new age of NFL quarterbacks could look like with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow all duking it out this weekend. And of course, we'll talk about the games and the predictions that's going on this weekend, but we're also going to talk about the coaching situation because there's 8 vacancies right now in the NFL. None have been filled. And we're going to go over what are the top 3 destinations to take over for NFL coaches. I'm Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On NFL Podcast. I'm Chris Carter. He's your boy Q, and we're bringing it to you here on a Friday. As always, you can find the Locked On NFL Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, recommend this to your friends. I'm Chris. He's Q. Q, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. Are you Chris?
I'm great. It is Friday, baby. I am so amped for the weekend. And, you know, Q, both of the teams that we cover, I cover the Steelers, you cover the Raiders, both of our teams got eliminated. And there's sadness. It's like, oh, man, disappointment. You hope that they could continue on. But there's also the sense, like, you know, now I get to just watch all the NFL playoff games and look at everybody else stress out.
I mean, the thing about it is you never want to see the season come to an end because it's a lot of fun to cover a team. But at the same time, I mean, you realize that it's going to come to an end at some point, and then you know at the end of the season it's going to be the best. The ones that are the ones that have a real deal opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. And I don't think that anyone thought that the Raiders were going to go to the Super Bowl, and I don't think anyone thought the Steelers were going to go to the Super Bowl. So it was a nice run. They both got to the playoffs. Cool. It's all good. Now let's see who are going to be the last of the Mohicans. Who are going to be the last men standing, you know? And so that's fun, man, because I think there's some really good teams and some really good players, a lot of really good quarterbacks that obviously we'll talk about on this show. But I think there's a lot of good that's going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I'm very excited about being able to have the opportunity to talk about it.
But let's talk about those quarterbacks, because on one hand, in the NFC, you got a lot of old dudes. You got Jimmy Garoppolo, who's been around for a bit. Matt Stafford's been around for a bit. But the two old guys that everyone's talking about is Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Those guys, you know, Tom Brady, he's the oldest guy in the league. He's right about to turn 45 next year. Aaron Rodgers was drafted in 2005, the year after Ben Roethlisberger, who he was just eliminated from the playoffs. That old guard of quarterbacks, they're there. But when you look at these other games, oh, man, the young era of quarterbacks is upon us. There's a new wave coming in, and people were wondering for years, you know, what's going to happen when Manning and Brady can't be a thing anymore, when Rodgers is not a thing anymore, and Ben's gone, and all these guys. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be more quarterbacks that emerge in the NFL.
Right.
And we've certainly seen them. Joe Burrow has played at a very high level. He's taken the Bengals to the playoff games. They're going to face off against Ryan Tannehill, maybe Derrick Henry.
Right.
We heard from Mike Vrabel that Friday will be the day that he announces or decides if Derrick Henry's going to play. So be on the watch out for that on the ticker. And of course, our guy Tyler, who does Locked On Titans, he's going to be holding that down. But then you look over at my favorite game that I'm looking forward to this weekend, Sunday night, Bills at Chiefs, Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. That could be the new Manning versus Brady when you talk about big quarterback matchups.
I mean, it really can be. And I'll tell you right now, I didn't think that the Bills were going to beat the brakes off the Patriots like they did last weekend. I mean, it was over before halftime. You know what I mean? It's like, it was crazy. I was watching the Raiders and Bengals game and started doing the post-game show for the Raiders, and all of a sudden look up and it's already like 27-0. I was like, what the hell? I ain't even got out the post-game show yet. So Josh Allen, I mean, he showed his backside in a major way, you know, last week. So can he take that performance and play against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? I think Buffalo's got a real good opportunity. Remember, going into the season, they were a team that was expected to make a deep run. Then they kind of hit that lull where I was like, you know, maybe I don't really trust this team. Maybe they're not really who I thought they were. Well, now here they are. So I like what Josh Allen brings to the table, and I like his competition going up against Patrick Mahomes, obviously one of the best in the league, if not the best young quarterback in the league. So we'll see how this one shakes out. But, man, I'll tell you, Mahomes against Allen is going to be a fun matchup to watch.
So what you're saying is they are who you thought they were.
I mean, we'll find out, you know, we'll find out. I mean, again, this season, though, has been so crazy. You know, it's like a team looks really good for a few weeks in a row. Then all of a sudden they take a L against a team. It's like, how the hell did that happen? Even Tennessee, the number one seed. I mean, they lost to the Jets. They lost to the Jaguars. I mean, they lost some bad games, you know, and now here they are, the number one seed, and they're going to be taking on Cincinnati, and that's going to be a hell of a matchup with at least one good young quarterback in that game. I don't consider Ryan Tannehill a good young quarterback, so I know Tennessee Titan fans are going to come for me now, but that's fine.
One, he's been around long enough now that he's not
that good.
Yeah, and he's not that good. Listen, as much as Ryan Tannehill deserves, you know, credit for being there and helping them fight their way to the one seed without Derrick Henry this season.
Right.
We all know if that team wants to win a Super Bowl this year, Derrick Henry got to be healthy.
And you know, the thing is, I don't want to say he's not that good. That was probably the wrong statement. He's not elite, and he's just good enough. Let's put it like that. For the makeup of that team.
Job.
Yeah, for that team, what they need him for, he does a good job.
And I think that gets lost in the NFL sometimes. Everyone thinks that you have to have the superstar quarterback to run your team. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo made it to the Super Bowl 2 years ago or 3 years ago, you know, with a team that was basically built on running the ball and defense, you know.
Right.
So let's not overcharacterize that. But I do think that you're in a stage where everyone's looking to see who is going to be the guys who are going to be the powerhouses of the next years. I mean, when you think about over the stretch of the first 20 years of the 2000s, right?
Yeah.
The majority of the Super Bowls were won I'll put it this way. The majority of the AFC Super Bowls were represented by either a Brady or a Manning or a Roethlisberger, or occasionally like a Flacco or Rich Gannon popped up in there.
Right.
But it was the star quarterbacks that everyone looked at. And so everyone looks at, well, that's the key. You have to have a star quarterback. But, you know, some of those years, like Peyton Manning, the Super Bowl that he won with the Broncos, it wasn't because Peyton Manning was a quarterback.
It was
because that defense was there. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And I wonder, and I weigh that against, are these new quarterbacks going to just be the dominant teams of their conferences? Are they going to be the teams that run their divisions and their conferences for the next 10 years? Or is this going to be an NFL that finds a way to balance that, and you're going to see some defensive teams rise up and sort of challenge them over the next 10 years?
Yeah, I think that you're going to see a lot more balance. I mean, let's take Joe Burrow. I love what he brings to the table. I'll tell you, man, Cincinnati Bengals fans, they're going to let me eat for free in Cincinnati when I go there, just because, you know, I mean, because I've just come full circle on this team. But I like what Joe Burrow does. I like his swagger that he brings to the table, and I like his skill, obviously. But then again, look at the division he plays in, and you know it very well. You know, you got Cincinnati, you got Pittsburgh, you've got the Baltimore Ravens, and you've got Cleveland. I mean, that could be the one that you look at and say, okay, well, maybe they're not going to be that competitive, because who knows what they bring to the table. But I fully suspect Pittsburgh to be back again. I think that they're going to figure out how to get a quarterback, and they'll be a really good team. Baltimore is always going to be competitive. So I don't know if Joe Burrow and the Bengals are going to be able to be AFC North champs consistently like Kansas City is in the AFC West. I mean, they're winning the AFC West all the time. You know, that's just what they do. I don't know if the AFC North is going to shake out like that, because, again, that division is so damn competitive.
They are at another level. And, I mean, heck, I've covered the AFC North. They find a way to battle me. Even you think about, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger, he was definitely the best quarterback for quite some time in that division.
Right.
And the Steelers didn't win it every year with him. And, you know, sometimes the Ravens crept up, sometimes the Bengals crept up, and, you know, there were times that they went back and forth. But again, the Browns never did.
Right.
But in all seriousness, you know, you look at these young quarterbacks, and these are the guys driving. I think it's going to be really telling. And when I think back on that last era of quarterbacks, it was a lot of guys. They made their hay. They made their reputation on early in their career when they established themselves in the playoffs. You think about Ben Roethlisberger, his Super Bowls came in his first 5 years of quarterbacking,
in
Super Bowl 40 and Super Bowl 43. Eli Manning, they came in his first, you know, I'd say 7 or 8 years when they won Super Bowl 42, and I think it was Super Bowl 46 that he won his second one. So, you know, you had those years. Phillip Rivers defined himself. He couldn't win the big one. He got to the playoffs, he wasn't good. Aaron Rodgers won Super Bowl 45, but wasn't able to return throughout the 2010s. It's these are like people think that like, oh, well, these young quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, John Allen, Joe Burrow, they'll just be here forever. But as Dan Marino will tell you, he's like, the only Super Bowl he ever went to was his rookie season.
Right.
And he just thought, oh, he'll be back. He'll definitely be back for those. It's never guaranteed that you're going to get in a position where your team is the best team and you get a shot to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
So you have to strike while the iron is hot because you don't know what's going to happen. And I'm really intrigued to see what these young quarterbacks do with these opportunities.
Well, think about this. I mean, even in the AFC East, I mean, you know, you got Buffalo, right, with Josh Allen, who's playing this weekend. But then look at New England. Look at what Mac Jones was able to do, another young quarterback. And I want to see him with another year under his belt to see what he can do because obviously we saw that that playoff performance. It didn't end the way that he wanted to. But, I mean, hell, he was one of the hottest quarterbacks throughout the course of the year. Even though he wasn't doing a whole lot, he was doing enough to win games. So you could see he had some skills. So that's another young quarterback that you have to feel pretty good about, especially being in that New England system with Bill Belichick. You figure that he's going to be right. So, I mean, he made Cam Newton expendable, right? So there's that.
There is that. But there's going to be some serious matchups this weekend. We'll go over those matchups in the third segment of the Locked On NFL podcast. Before we do that, we got to talk about the NFL coaching situation because there are now 8 vacancies. Q, we can actually also review some of the predictions that we had with how this was going to play out. But also, we want to look at and rank who are the top 3 teams that are open right now when it comes to NFL coaches and head coaching vacancies. So we'll talk about that shortly here on the Locked On NFL podcast. But first, we have to talk to you about some of our sponsors, including GetUpside. Hey, NFL fans, this is Chris Carter and your boy Q with an incredible app that everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called GetUpside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month on cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that's promo code TOUCHDOWN on the GetUpside app. We're also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue the march through the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline reigns the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today and you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Locked On, and you'll get started on your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. From football to basketball to hockey to boxing, UFC, and right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, and BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, all that being said, back-to-back ad reads, Q, it means we keep it rolling. Let's keep it rolling here.
Locked
On NFL podcast. Now, let's talk about these coaching vacancies. Because you and I talked about who we expected. We already knew the Raiders situation with Gruden. The Vikings we expected. The Bears we expected. The Broncos we expected. The Giants we expected. Honestly, we thought that would come a little bit faster.
Right.
The Jaguars everyone knew of because Urban Meyer was already gone.
Yeah.
But the two surprises were the Dolphins and the Texans. And we talked about that last week with those being the black coaches that were fired, and now Mike Tomlin being the only black head coach left in the NFL. Now, that'll probably change once this period of hiring goes on,
right?
And some people get hired. But the question now remains between those teams, again, 8 teams, Raiders, Vikings, Bears, Broncos, Giants, Jaguars, Dolphins, Texans.
Cowboys should be involved in that. They're not, but they should be.
I was just trying to get to the point of the segment, but hold on.
I'm just saying. Back.
You coming for Mike McCarthy, he's not doing the job for you?
No, not at all. Did you see the game on Sunday against the 49ers? I mean, that's
they couldn't set up and get the ball to the referee.
That's on coaching. They're not prepared. Mike McCarthy, ask any Cowboy fan. Mike McCarthy is a liability, and that's the reason why I told everyone that would listen, I don't trust that team in the playoffs because I don't trust the guy on the sidelines. At some point, it does come down to coaching as well, and Mike McCarthy doesn't have the skins on the wall anymore. He did have one nice run in Green Bay, I get it, but he hasn't been that guy since. And there's a reason why he was out of the league. And when he came back into the league, he even told Jerry Jones, "Oh, I watched every one of the Cowboys games last season. I'm using analytics now. I'm doing this, that, and the other." And then when he was asked about it after he got the job, he said, "Oh, I didn't do that. I just said that to get the job." Like, that's a red flag right there. That's a red flag right there. Like,
you lied to get the job.
Right. I mean, you lied to your employer to get the job. Like, where do they do that in a normal world? You know, it's like if I'm working at AM PM or something like that, and I told these guys that I have a high school education, then all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, so what high school did you graduate from?" "Oh, I didn't graduate. I just told you that because I wanted to get the job." I'm fired. They're going to fire me. But Mike McCarthy showed that high school, maybe he should have been working at AM PM instead of working on the sidelines of the Cowboys against the 49ers, because that last play.
You told Mike McCarthy to go work at a gas station.
Yes, I did. I did. I told him AM PM. I didn't tell him some gas station that's like a terrible one. AM PM's cool. People like that spot. Yeah, I think Mike McCarthy should be fired. I think that he's not a very good head coach. I think that the Cowboys are going to transition to Kellen Moore at some point anyway. And Kellen Moore, he's got a lot to be desired after that arrogant play call that he had at the end. But this is a total side story to the segment we're supposed to be talking about. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on a rant, but sometimes that's what I do.
No, rant away. Rant away. I love this. I love QB
passion. It just makes me angry that you have this opportunity to go win this game at the end that you have no business being in, and then you blow it away by having a stupid play call and acting like your team had never been there and done that before. And then Dak wants to come out and talk about, it's the officials' fault, blaming the officials because of their lack of knowledge and their lack of ability to get the ball set and hand it to the official like a smart player would have done, ran the ball to the official instead of hand it to your center like your center is going to do something with it besides put it down. Everyone knows the rule. I mean, it was just a lack of awareness, and it was bad discipline. It's a reason why the Cowboys haven't done anything in the last 25 years, because they run a country club and they have a bunch of country club type coaches, and someone needs to crack the whip there, but Jerry's not going to do it, so I don't know who's going to do it, so I don't know what the point of the last 5 minutes has been. My bad.
It's fine. I love this. I love Passion Q when he brings it on the Cowboys. Hey, listen, man, that's an organization that should have had more success by now.
Yeah.
They continue to flounder. I've said for a long time, Jerry Jones needs to step back. He needs
His fans are crying on national TV. There was literally fans crying on TV.
That was the saddest. Like, they were like, they couldn't keep it together.
There was a guy that got busted with his side chick because they caught him on camera holding her.
What?
Yes. There was a guy that, first of all, I don't know why he even had a side chick, because if you look at his hairstyle that he had, it was awful. It was the worst hairstyle I ever seen. It looked like he had some sumo type wrestler, but he wasn't a sumo wrestler. It was bad, right? It was awful. And he's holding he's holding a female, and she's in tears, and he has like red in his eyes, like he's been crying. And then all of a sudden, his girl goes on Twitter and was like, "Hey, that's my guy, and that's his side chick. He's been dating her on and off for a while, and he said he was done with her, and this was going to be a guy's trip. Clearly it's not. Now we're done." I mean, he got busted on national TV. The fans can't catch a break. The team can't catch a break. And all that's because Mike McCarthy is a bad head coach.
Coming with the heat.
It just makes me mad. I don't like bad football. And I've covered the Raiders, so I know bad football when I see it. And that was bad. That was bad situational football. That's from a bad head coach who's been messing up all year long. Time management's terrible. Decision-making is terrible. Mike McCarthy just doesn't have it. Jerry Jones should have fired him the minute that game was over. He shouldn't even have let him take a shower. Should have just said, "Hey,
just go home." We'll send you a check. Don't get on the bus.
Right.
Figure your own way home.
Exactly. Here. Don't even get on the bus. We'll send you your check in the mail.
Weren't they in Dallas? So it just would have been like, just don't go in. Don't get out of Jerry's world.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave your key card at the door.
This segment went from being one of the top coaching destinations to, man, get rid of Mike McCarthy.
Well, he should have. I don't want to keep railing on.
He's about to go right back to.
I'm so sorry. I apologize, everyone.
Oh man, I'm totally not gonna bring this up for the rest of the year. Like I'm not gonna try to rile up Q anymore with this anymore. But okay, top of those eight destinations that actually are a thing.
Right.
Who are your top three?
My top three. Well, number three, I think, is the Bears. I think because they have a nice young quarterback in Justin Fields, who I think is a quality quarterback. We don't know. I think he's a quality quarterback, and I feel like the Bears have a really good defense. And so I think that that could be a nice situation. And Chicago, in my opinion, is a very passionate fan base. You know, the fan base really loves their football, so you know that the team and the organization wants to win. I don't know if they're going to. That division, I think, you know, outside of Aaron Rodgers, is very winnable. You have another team in that division that is looking for their head coach in Minnesota. Again, Green Bay is obviously the cream of the crop in that division, but I think the Chicago is a nice spot. So that's number three for me. So who's number three for you?
Number three is also Chicago. I'm the same.
You looked at me like I was saying something crazy, and you were going with the same one.
Yeah, I was the same one. I think we might have the same three exact.
I bet we don't.
Unfortunately,
I bet we
don't.
You bet we don't.
Yep. All right. So for all the same reasons, Chicago.
Okay.
Justin Fields. They got that. My only thing with Chicago is they're going to have a good draft pick this year.
Yeah,
but they don't have a whole lot of money in free agency right now. They got $30 million, decent money. But my number two team,
yeah,
is a team with the most money.
Okay,
that's the Miami Dolphins.
That's your number two team who just fired Brian Flores because they didn't like the way his style, even though he won back-to-back double-digit games. I wouldn't want to go there. That's not the number two team.
Hear me out.
I knew we weren't the same. That's very Drake of you.
That's whoa, where we come with the light skin hatred.
I didn't say that. I said Drake. Drake.
I know what you're saying. You know what it is about.
I thought Drake's last album was pretty soft, and it was very, you know, R&B-ish for a hip-hop artist. I just thought there was too much softness in it. So that was a soft comment. I didn't say anything about light skin. I love light skin, folks.
I pull for
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson every day.
This man makes fun of my light-skinnedness every week. And he was this wasn't about being light skinned. This is about being, get the heck out of here. Who are you even, Q? But back to my point with the Dolphins. Yes, that's worrisome. But the Dolphins are, you have a young quarterback on a rookie contract. I'm not saying Tua's all that, but you don't got to pay a lot for him.
Right.
You have defensive playmakers. You have young playmakers on this team. You got Jaylen Waddle, I think, who looked really good this year. You have 70.4 million dollars
in
cap space.
You got bread. Yeah.
If you're an NFL head coach, you could come in, you can spend money, get offensive linemen, get what you need to get to make this offense not need to depend on Tua Tagovailoa. Make sure that defense is still wrapped up. And then this can be your team. You know, like, look, I brought in some vets. These are my guys.
I got you.
You young guys, you come in, we bang, and we go in next year, and the Bills are going to be looking at it. It's like, what happened? Where did you guys come from? And I really think that the Dolphins, that's why. I'm not saying the culture.
I agree
with you. I don't believe in the Miami organization, but if I'm a head coach, I look at that salary cap space, and I say, GM, what can we do with that? Who can you get me? What can I do with this upcoming draft pick that I'm about to get? I think there's real potential there.
Okay. No, I mean, I can see your reasoning there, but I don't like Stephen Ross. I think that the ownership there is terrible. And
I agree.
I think that plays a factor because you don't really know your job security. I mean, you got Brian Flores who went in there and they were supposed to be tanking. He found a way to win five games. And then all of a sudden he gets back-to-back 10-win seasons with a quarterback that he doesn't even know if he's a real quarterback. I mean, he's got Tua, and nobody even knows if he's going to be the guy. So I just don't trust Miami. So that's the only reason why I don't put them in the top three. I'm actually going to stay in the same division that I've already talked about when I was talking about the Bears, and I'm going to talk about the Vikings. And I'll put them at number two. And it's funny that I put them at number two, even though I like Chicago a lot. I put them at number two because I like a lot of their weapons that they have. I like the running back in Dalvin Cook. I love Justin Jefferson. I mean, I don't know how he made it all the way to Minnesota when he did. Where'd they pick him at? Number 18 or something like that? Or whatever pick it was, 17 teams made mistakes. You know, or,
steal.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, that dude was an absolute stud, or is an absolute stud. We all know what Thielen brings to the table. I think Minnesota, when they get their mind right and they get their right coach in there, they'll get back to their defensive ways. They have that nice new stadium there, and of course they're another organization that wants to win. It's a football division, in my opinion. Some divisions are like football divisions, and you know, and that is one of them right there. So I'm actually picking the Vikings as my number two team as far as most favorable jobs out of the eight that are open right now.
That's really interesting. So you have the Vikings as your number two.
Yep.
I have the Dolphins. All right, I think we have the same number one though.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure.
All right,
I went with your boys, the region, the Raiders.
There is no region. It is nationwide. Raider
listen,
Nation.
Listen, it's a region because y'all in Vegas or y'all in Cali or y'all.
It don't matter.
It's that West Coast area.
No, it's the thing. It doesn't matter where the team's at because they're worldwide. They're like Pitbull. Worldwide.
They're a region. See, Pittsburgh's worldwide. To Arizona, Pittsburgh fans take over that stadium. You go to Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh fans
Raider
take over
fans
that stadium.
Do the
you
same
go to San Francisco,
thing.
Pittsburgh fans take over
Raider
that stadium.
Raiders fans do the same thing.
They do not. Same I was here in Pittsburgh. They had like 10%.
I was there in Pittsburgh.
They had 10% of the stadium in Heinz Field. That was it.
That's because they were bored.
They were bored. Guess what? The Steelers, I've been in Arizona where Steelers fans have been 70%.
Okay. That's because
3,000 miles
the
away.
Cardinal fans don't even go to their games. Arizona fans don't go to their games in Arizona. That's why.
That's their problem.
Okay. So you're benefiting all. That's like saying, oh, well, the Steelers fans were large and in charge against the Chargers. Everyone knows that. Nobody. I mean, come on, man. That's terrible, man.
They do it everywhere.
All right, Mike McCarthy. All right, Mike McCarthy. You're starting to Mike McCarthy it up, man.
You call me Drake. If you called me Steph Curry, I'd be at least
I'd never call you Steph Curry.
But now you're calling Mike McCarthy. Now I'm offended.
Well, it's because you're starting to bring in some fake analytics, you know? You're hitting me with some stats that don't matter.
If you want some fake analytics, okay, Jamarcus Russell. Now I'm hitting it back.
Hey, that was awful. That was awful times. I'll tell you right there. But I'll say I agree with you 100%. I do think that the Raiders are the most favorable job right now. I think that the ones that more people are going to want, both the GM and potentially the head coach, because still Rich Bisaccia is potentially, I guess, still in the mix for the head coaching job. I don't think he's going to get it, but that's just my gut feeling. But the GM job is open, and I do think that's going to be an attractive job. And, you know, I'll tell you this, Chris, I mean, as much as we joke about Steelers and Raiders, this is the first time in a very long time that I can remember that the Raiders were actually a job that people wanted to go to. And that's not a disrespect to the team. That's just reality. In the past, that was a job where you went to because you wanted to be a coach really bad. You know, hey, there's only 32 of these. Okay, I'll take the Raiders job. That's just what it was. Like Dennis Allen, he got his head coaching job there with the Raiders. He got fired. He's a really good coach. Now he's getting another interview. You know, potentially he's going to get some interviews. Other coaches have gone there. Jack Del Rio wanted to be a head coach again, and boom, he went and took the Raiders job. I mean, Gruden, that was a different situation. But just look at the coaches they've had over the past. It has not been the most desirable situation. Now, all of a sudden, they're in Vegas. They have a new stadium. They have the facilities. They have an owner that's willing to pay money to get the coach. You know, they've got a franchise quarterback if you want to keep him. They've got some good weapons on defense and offense. I mean, they are a 10-win team that just came out of the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot to like about that situation. You just got to find the right guy. So that's why I would say that they're the best opening right now, and it's been a long time. I couldn't tell you the last time I said that they were the best opening available.
It's certainly a question here. And the Raiders also $39 million in cap space that can probably be increased with some moves this year.
For sure.
You go and you have an established franchise quarterback, maybe, you know,
who's only making $19 million this next year.
That's a great situation.
$19 million. That's like minimum wage now. You know what I mean? Like
minimum wage.
I mean, it's real.
Bruh, if I could make $19 million on minimum wage.
Football minimum wage. Football quarterback minimum wage.
No, I feel.
I mean, Dak's making $40 million, and look, he's at home too.
Dang, jeez, Dak Prescott, $40 million to slide 20 yards short of where you're 5 yards short of where we need to to slide. That's a whole nother situation. But no, I feel you there. The Raiders, this is a prime opportunity for an NFL coach to come in. You'll have young talent. You'll have a quarterback that isn't costing you too much. You'll have salary cap space. Reestablish the culture there.
Yeah.
and keep moving forward. Also, I've said this all season long, but I am so impressed by how Derek Carr continued to carry himself and the team through John Gruden's firing, through losing two first round picks and Ruggs and Arnett.
Yep.
With all the drama, that team should have folded long ago.
Agreed.
They did not. And that says something to the players who are still there. So Agreed. The Raiders, top location. Let us know if we're crazy. Are we crazy? Is there a team that we should have considered above them? Let us know. He's at your boy Q254 on Twitter. I'm at Carter Critiques on Twitter as well. We're going to take one more break. We come back. It's our picks. We're going to go over all of the teams playing this weekend with our picks. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar with a new year means New Year's resolutions. It means you just got to get fit, means eating healthier, and Built Bar is there to help you with that. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and even better than the candy bar. If you look at a lot of protein bars, they're chalky, they're waxy, they taste disgusting. This is a protein bar that tastes good and is going to make you want to eat it and help you stay healthy while doing it. Most Built Bars contain just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to the average candy bar that has 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. This is a much healthier option. Go find the places you stash all your snacks, whether it's candy bars, potato chips, all those things that they taste great, but they're not helping you with your New Year's resolution. Replace those stashes with Built Bars. And you can do so by finding all the different flavors available to them. That's coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, milk mint brownie, and so many more. Just go to Built.com and you'll find all those flavors available. They're being updated every week with more and more being put on the website. Again, go to Built.com. And if you want a discount, you could use it by listening to this show by using the promo code LOCKED15. It's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order at Built.com, where you can find your favorite flavor of Built Bars. Back here on the Locked On NFL podcast, it's Friday, which means it's pick time. Q, we got 7 games left. 7 NFL games.
That's wild, man. That's wild. The season went by fast, didn't it?
It did. I remember us talking about, we're so excited to get preseason football, and here we are being depressed.
It's all good.
It's all good, but we got some great games. Let's kick off with the Saturday 4:30 game. It's Bengals at Titans. The Bengals, a team that from week one, we doubted them. Bengals fans let us hear it.
Yeah, they did.
We gave them props.
Yep.
I put a bet on them. I had to wear face tattoos because I thought that they would beat the Jets. They didn't beat the Jets, and here they are with a chance to beat the Titans. What say you, Q? They had a really good win last week against your Raiders, though. I do think the Raiders had a chance down to the wire there. They cannot give the Titans that chance in this game.
And I don't think they will. I think Cincinnati is a better team. I've been doubting Tennessee ever since Derrick Henry went down. We'll see what happens if he plays or not. I know we'll find out a little bit later on today. But either way, he's not going to be 100% regardless. He won't be 100%. He won't be in like mid-season form or anything. So I think there'll be a little bit of rust he has to knock off. I don't trust the Tennessee Titans that much. I want to go all in on them. I think that they're built to win, especially with Mike Vrabel. I like him a lot as a head coach. I like the way that the defense is playing. Tannehill, I'm not sold on as a quarterback that's going to take him to the promised land. If I have to look at the two QBs and I look at Burrow and I look at Tannehill, I'm going to ride with Burrow. I like the playmakers a lot. I mean, I enjoyed watching the playmakers from Cincinnati a week ago, even though they were beating the Raiders. I was still enjoying watching those playmakers play. I've gone full circle, man. I'm going to ride with the Bengals in this one, man. I think they win, and I'll tell you, I think they win 28-20.
The Bengals. Listen, I agree with you 100% on they have the better quarterback. I think that they have a better roster unless Derrick Henry plays. If Derrick Henry does play in this game, I'm going with the Titans. I know that he's not going to be 100%, but 80% of Derrick Henry scares me. And this Titans team found a way to be competitive with him just being on the bench.
Yeah, no, they did
for most of the season. They were able to beat the Niners, a playoff team. They were able to beat the Saints. They were able to beat the Rams, the Colts. they beat the Chiefs, though I think that was with Derrick Henry back in October. But point being, they've had several big playoff wins this year. And I think that with him coming back, it's going to psych up the offense. It's going to give them a chance. They're coming off a week's rest. I think the Bengals, they're in a position where, like, the Titans, these Titans have been in the playoffs a couple times now. They've tasted that a little bit. I think the Bengals, they're going to come in riding high. I think they'll start off confident, but if Derrick Henry plays, I think he's going to be a difference maker and the Titans win at home. But if he doesn't play, Bengals are winning this one for sure. All right. NFC game for Saturday, 8:15 kickoff. San Francisco 49ers at the Green Bay Packers.
Woo!
Q, Aaron Rodgers is 0-3 lifetime versus the San Francisco 49ers. That defense, that run game, for whatever it is, it gives him fits.
Yeah.
Whether it's Colin Kaepernick running the ball or whether it's some running back that we ain't going to remember next year they're just calling the right run plays and Green Bay can't stop it. This has to be the year, right? I'm picking the Packers. He cannot go 0-4. That's like 0-4. You got swept out the playoffs by the Niners.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That can't happen to Aaron Rodgers, right?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, he's the league MVP, in my opinion. You know, he's been a damn good player. The team's been damn good, but they do have some flaws. I mean, they're not without issues. But I just think that playing in the frozen tundra, playing there at Lambeau Field, is just going to be too much for San Francisco. I like the style that San Francisco plays. I like the bully ball that they play. I love the fact that they run the rock, and Debo Samuel, he could play anywhere on the field. Hell, you might see him on defense next. I don't know. But he's just so fun to watch. But I just think in Green Bay, man, the Packers just have too much of an advantage. If they lose this game at home, then there's going to be some real deal questions. And you know what? Aaron Rodgers might be on his way out of Green Bay if they lose this game on Saturday. I don't see it, so I'm rolling with the Packers as well.
If they lose this game, there's going to be so much noise on Green Bay.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Because him and Davante Adams might be
– Davante Adams might be suiting up in Vegas after that.
Oh, look at you trying to recruit some guys early.
Saying,
here
man.
To
you know, me and Davante are homeboys, man. You know, we both got 559 phone numbers. Just saying. He went to Fresno State. I'm a Fresno guy. Just saying. Uh-huh. You know the number. Look it up in your phone. You know it's a 559 number.
Let me check.
Yeah, go on check, man. Go on check.
I'm going to look at my phone. I'm looking at my
check.
Phone.
Go check.
Hey, give me some time, man. I got to, like, hit the search button.
I was the last person that you texted.
Keon Myers.
Why you just put my whole government name up there?
See, I knew he was going to be bad if I did that.
God dang.
Now everyone knows.
I'm gonna have a damn electricity bill in my name now somewhere in Africa or something. There's gonna be like one piece of electricity, and it's gonna be in my name.
And that's the whole thing. I was like, I'm gonna make him mad. I'm gonna say his actual name. He's your boy. You know his name's Keon.
He put my whole.
You do have a 559.
I know I do. I know my phone number. Jeez, why would I tell you I know my phone number? What my phone number was if I didn't know it? I'm a grown man. I better know my phone number.
Oh, boy. Anyways. All right. Next NFC game, Sunday, 3 p.m. kickoff. Los Angeles Rams at Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm.
This is a tough one, man. Tom Brady losing to Matt Stafford? Are we nuts?
No.
I may be. Because Q, the Buccaneers offensive line is beat up. That defensive line for the Rams is ready to go.
Okay.
I can see that being the difference. The Buccaneers have a really tough defensive front. They'll get after Matt Stafford as well. But I think Aaron Donald is going to be a problem in this game.
I think that's
going to be the thing. Tom Brady does not deal well when pressure's up the middle in his face and he has to create, and especially at this age, I think it's just going to be his death knell in this one. Not saying that the Buccaneers can't pull it out, but that's the edge I see going to the Rams. They're figuring things out. Cooper Kupp is the best receiver in football. Odell Beckham Jr. has figured out what his rhythm with Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
This is a team that can overcome the Buccaneers.
You know, and I got to apologize to Odell Beckham Jr. because I know I questioned him on his way out of Cleveland. Like, is he really that guy? Is he the issue? Is he the problem? What's going on? You know, what's going on with Baker? But Odell Beckham Jr. has shown to be a godsend for the Rams, man. He's come in clutch in a major way. And just, I mean, he looked like last week, he looked like an absolute stud. Or on Monday, actually, against the Cardinals, looked like an absolute stud. He looked like that OBJ from the past. But I'll say this. When it comes down to the playoff games, I like to look at the coaching staff and I like to look at the quarterbacks. I like Arians and I like Brady. So I'm going to roll with the Buccaneers in this one. I like Sean McVay as well, but I don't trust Matt Stafford. I just don't. I don't think he's a winner. I know he beat up on the Cardinals, but I think if the Cardinals are more of an issue of Cliff Kingsbury. He's the weaker link for the Cardinals. And Kyler Murray looked terrible.
He looked terrible.
He looked he needed to go back to baseball.
That interception he threw.
Yeah, I
was just like, was man, Kyler, dang, bruh.
I'm rolling with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians in this one. They're playing at home. I just think that the Buccaneers get it done. Stafford's going to throw a couple interceptions, and Devin White's going to have a field day creating those turnovers.
I'm intrigued to see that. We'll see who comes out on top. That's our first. Well, no. No, that's right. We split on Bengals Titans too. Yep. I kind of split. If Derrick Henry plays, I'm rolling with the Titans. If not, I'm rolling with the Bengals.
Whatever.
all right. But the big game, Bills, Chiefs, Josh Ooh. Allen, Patrick Mahomes. It's going down Sunday night, 6:30. This is where everyone is going to have their eyes glued to the television. Who you got?
Well, I'm a guy from the Bay Area, and you know, I'm a big Too Short fan, and back in the day, Too Short had that song. Matter of fact, he said, was it Too Short? Either way, he said, let Bruce hit it. And what I mean by that is I got my guy Bruce. He lives in Cincinnati, but he's a big Buffalo Bills fan.
What?
He told me at the beginning of the season, I know it's a weird story, but he told me at the beginning of the season, the Buffalo Bills were that team and I need to watch out for it. So I'm riding with my guy, Bruce. Let Bruce hit it. I think Buffalo's going to upset Kansas City, man. I think that they're going to beat him. I'm going to give the nod to Bruce. And I know that nobody's going to be surprised because, hey, this is a Raider guy talking about Kansas City losing. But I just think that Buffalo's got that juice, man. After what I saw last week against New England, they got so much juice I can't go against them, even if that was just a one-off thing. I just can't go against that. That was too impressive.
It was impressive. I also believe in something when I watch teams mature, when I see teams take losses, internalize them, and then take them out the next year. You know, Villanova. Back in March Madness when they lost to NC State, I was actually there watching that game in Pittsburgh when it happened, and the flute girl was crying and everything like that. The very next year, they come out and they're like, "Okay, who said that?" And then they walked their way to the national title game. Virginia, the first ever one seed to lose to a 16 seed in March Madness, they lose the next year. They walk their way to a national title. The Steelers of the early 2000s, they were just crushed by how they lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. They go out there, they win themselves a Super Bowl. And they talk about how those lessons taught them, this is what it takes to be the champion. This is what it takes to overcome any hardship in those moments. The Bills have been through those wars. They went up with the Houston Texans years ago when Josh Allen couldn't outplay Deshaun Watson. Last year, they were so close. They went up 9-0 and then gave up 21 straight unanswered points to the Chiefs. And you saw the Bills kind of fall apart late. They have been ready for this moment. Now, I think there's been times they've overlooked it this season. That's why they lost to the Steelers in week one. I think that they've had some times they've kind of, you know, thought that they kind of assumed that they were just going to be good in the situation, but they know not to assume anything against the Chiefs. The Chiefs started a little slow last week. This is going to be a Buffalo defense that is the number one in the country. I see the Bills coming out, establishing a better early lead, and it being a harder road to hoe for Patrick Mahomes to get his way back into it. And he will. He's Patrick Mahomes. This is going to be close. But I see the Bills establishing a lead, maintaining the lead, and when Mahomes makes that last push, either the Bills are going to get a stop or he's going to get it to score with enough time for Josh Allen to work his magic, and they're going to win the game.
Oh.
So we're on the same page there. All right. So I got the Bills. We both got the Bills. You have the Bucks. I have the Rams. We both have the Packers, and I conditionally have the Titans if
Pick a side.
I picked the Derrick Henry side. If he plays, I'm sticking with him. If he's not, I'm sticking with the Bengals.
If Derrick Henry ain't playing in a playoff game where the season's on the line, then come on, man. What's going on? He's going to play, man. So
he's hurt. Okay. That's what's going on.
Well, he's in practice, so I think as long as he's in practice, he's going to play. We'll find out today.
You know what? Forget it then. I'm just rolling with the Titans straight up.
There you go. That's the way to man up. That's what I'm talking about. Happy now?
Yes. This is basically, yeah.
Yes, I'm happy now.
I'm so happy for you to be happy, Q.
All right, good.
Anyways, we're way over time. Look at us.
I know.
Look at us. We're just doing this thing. But thanks for listening and watching the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm Chris Carter. He's your boy, Q. It's been another fun Friday episode here. Q, let people can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
On Twitter, at your boy Q254. It's real simple. Everything I do is on Twitter, at your boy Q254. What about you, Chris?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critique. Same thing there. I post all my work there. You can read me at DKPittsburghSports.com. Listen to the Locked On Steelers podcast, just like you listen to Locked On Raiders and Locked On NFL, Monday through Friday. Free content, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, anywhere. Podcasts are hosted for free. Thanks again for checking us out. We're going to get you through the weekend. Bo Brack's going to have the Monday episode getting you back. Check out all the great content on the Locked On Podcast Network.